Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on education when we come back. Hey, if you're earning $50,000 a year and you pay all of your 14 taxes, you get to keep about 40% of what you create and produce. The government gets 60%. That's $20,000 for you and $30,000 for the government. Now, isn't that just real special? But if you think your share isn't enough for you, then why don't you work twice as hard, produce twice as much, and make $100,000 next year? Now go ahead and pay your same 14 taxes just like you did this year, and you're going to net 25%, and the government gets 75%. Now that means that for working twice as hard and producing twice as much, you're going to net $4,000 more, or 8% more net take-home pay. You'll produce twice as much and get 8% of it. Now that's guaranteed by Congress and the IRS. We call it the progressive income tax. That's why I contend that there ought to be something more intelligent for you and I to do than to work to put ourselves into the top 5% of income earners and then only net 25% of it. Why don't you call today and order my free general law CD package and let me tell you how to deal with that kind of crime. It's 4 hours of entertaining information and it'll answer many of your legal questions about taxes and why it is we pay so much and receive so little in return. To order your free general law CD package, just call and direct. It's 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Or you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on to the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about education. The education system is broke. It's been broke for many years. But the solution, we're constantly told, is more money. More money and smaller class sizes. During the Reagan years, there was a woman by the name of Charlotte Isherby. She was in the Department of Education. She got her belly full. She came out. She wrote a book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. She said, this isn't an accident. This is being done on purpose. This is a part of public policy. During the Clinton years, they came out with a thing called out-based source education, or out-based, or outsource-based education, OBE. And now, the Bush administration, they've come up with a new plan. They called No Child Left Behind. They spend billions and billions of dollars, and the kids come out dumber and dumber every single year. Now, the amount of money that we spend on education in this country is around $9,000 per student per year. A couple of years ago, it was 7,000. Now, I just saw another piece here the other day. New numbers come out. It's risen from $7,000 to $9,000 per student per year. And they come out dumber and dumber every year. Has anybody ever thought that maybe if we spent less money, we'd get better results? Because that's what the numbers tell us. When I educated my child here at home, it cost us $546 a year to buy the materials to educate her here at home. That's about the national average, $550 to $600 per student, per child. Now, compare that with $9,000. At the time I was doing it, it was $7,000. So just take $7,000, plug it in, divide that by 600. And it costs nearly 12 times more money to educate a child in public school than it does in homeschool. 12 times more money. And get this, if your child goes to a public school, on average, they're going to score at the 50th percentile, unless they go to an inner city school, in which case the average is down to 28%. But if you score at the 50th percentile here in America in a public school, you're average. In a homeschool setting, it's 87th percentile. Now, why is that? Why is it that we spend $600 and we get 87, and we spend $7,000 or $9,000 and we get 50? The numbers tell you the more money you spend on education, the dumber the kid's going to be. Now, it's a little better in the parochial schools. If you send a kid to parochial school, it costs about $2,500 a year. And for that $2,500, he'll score at the 80th percentile. 80. Now, how do you like that? So you spend less money, you get better education, you get better outcome from the education dollar than you do if you go to public school. Now, the public school system is the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto, and everybody believes wholeheartedly in the public school system. That's why we have about 50 million children in the public school system. I'm not here to abolish the public school system. Heaven forbid that you Americans out there, Canadians and Australians, should give up the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. That's a choice that everybody has to make, and we here in the Western Anglo-Saxon countries have made our choice, and by golly, public education is the way we want to go. But I wanted to give you a report so that you can see where your money's going and what you're getting for it. If you want your child to be dumbed down, the public school system is the place to send them. There's no two ways about it. If you don't want your child dumbed down and you still send them to public school, I got to say, well, why? What are you doing that for? What's the outcome going to be? Now, one of the things that people will say is that, who goes to home school? Well, listen to this. There are many famous people throughout history that have been homeschooled. And these were students who went on to become artists, inventors, scientists, statesmen, writers, religious leaders, Supreme Court justices, musicians, and even American presidents. Now, there will always be those individuals who believe that children should not be homeschooled because it makes it more difficult to be successful. Considering all of the famous people who have been taught at home, that belief seems to be more myth than fact. For instance, English author Helen Potter never received a formal education. She was always very interested in the study of plants and animals, and she felt she learned more from her own self-study than she did from any textbook. Many considered her an amateur artist because she didn't attend a traditional classroom. But her books and characters that she created, characters like Peter Rabbit, Mr. Todd, Benjamin Bunny, Jeremy Fisher, and many others, are still as popular today as they were when they were first written. Other famous writers include C.S. Lewis, Charles Dickens, Mark Twain, Pearl Buck, and Hans Christian Andersen, all homeschooled. Architect Frank Lloyd Wright received a traditional classroom education for 4 years, age 11 to 15. After which, while still only 15, he was admitted to the University of Wisconsin and given the classification of a special student. He majored in engineering because there were no architecture courses available at that time. The second president of the United States, John Adams, was admitted to Harvard University at the young age of 15. He learned to read at home. He was later sent to the home of a neighbor who taught many of the local children throughout the years. Other U.S. presidents and statesmen who were homeschooled include Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Franklin Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, and Benjamin Franklin, to name a few. There are more than a few celebrities who have been homeschooled. We're all familiar with Whoopi Goldberg, Dakota Fanning, Jennifer Love Hewitt, and Charlie Chaplin. Now, these are just a few of the famous people who were at one time or another homeschooled. In reality, the complete list is very long. And if you take the time to do further research, I think you're going to be surprised at how large the group really is. Now, the Heartland Institute puts out a paper on schooling, and the Heartland Institute has a writer by the name of David W. Kirkpatrick, and it's called The School Reform News, and Kirkpatrick is a writer, and if you want a copy of it, this is dated February 2005. David Kirkpatrick wrote this article. David Kirkpatrick writes for the School Reform News, Heartland Institute. You can call him at 312-377-4000, and that's 312-377-4000, or you can go to the webpage www.heartland.org. I think if you're looking for David Kirkpatrick, you'll find a number of his articles. Here was one that I thought was very, very succinct and to the point as it relates to home schools. And Kirkpatrick writes about, these various and sundry charter schools and voucher schools and school reform and the various school problems, that are going on, violence and drugs and so on. And he's pretty up to date on what's going on. And he wrote a little piece here, a couple of pages here. Listen to this. He said, "The evidence that homeschooled students do well is more than special interest pleading. Departments of education in states such as Alaska, Tennessee, and Washington have conducted studies and found that typical homeschooled students come out ahead on virtually every significant measurement when measured against public school students." You got that? That means every single case where homeschooled students, when you take the average, now it is true, 10% of homeschooled students score below the national average. It should be 50%, score below the national average and 50 above. No, it's only 10% of homeschooled students score below the national average. 90% score above the national average. And so it isn't surprising that virtually every significant measurement of academic achievement is surpassed by homeschooled students over public school students. So if you thought that homeschool was pretty poor education, guess again. Now, specific instances abound, and one family sent three homeschooled youngsters to Harvard. A homeschooler wrote a bestseller at age 15, and homeschooled children placed first, second, and third in the 2000 National Spelling Bee. And in the last 10 years, homeschooled children have placed in the top 10 every single year. Top 10. Henry College in Virginia was founded for just such students, homeschooled students. Former U.S. Secretary of Education Bill Bennett has suggested, probably only partly tongue-in-cheek, that maybe we should subcontract all of the public education to the homeschool teachers. Self-esteem is a goal for students, much proclaimed by many public educators, a goal that, whatever its merits as a theory, has created much controversy. John Wesley Taylor found in research published in 1986 that homeschooled children did far better when measured for this attribute as well. Only 10% were below the national average, and by definition, among the general student body, 50% score below average. So if you take the general student body average in public school, half of them score below the national average, half score above the national average. Homeschooled children, 90% score above the national average, only 10% score below. More than 200 colleges, including such prestigious institutions as Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, actively seek to attract homeschooled students, not only because of their high SAT score, but for their advanced social skills as well. So much, then, for the rhetorical concern about socialization. And studies by Cornell University professor Yuri Brunfenbrenner suggest that at least until ages 10 or 12, students who spend more time with other children their age than with their parents tend to rely upon those other children for their values. The result of that, the trend to have a lower sense of self-worth, of optimism, of respect for their parents, and ironically, even of trust in their peers. If Brunfenbrenner is correct, this is one of the major and unrecognized reasons for the growing dysfunction of much of adolescent behavior. A 1960 study for the Smithsonian Institution by Harold McCurdy concluded that genius is more likely to develop among children who spend more time with their parents and with other adults and spend less time with their peers and have freedom to work out their own fantasies. McCurdy also suggested the public school system tends to do the reverse and restrict the development of geniuses. There is a higher proportion of geniuses that come out of homeschool environment than out of the public schools. Now, Martin Engel, head of the National Demonstration Center for Early Childhood Education in Washington, D.C., some years back, said that children sense rejection if they are schooled too early. And Raymond S. Moore, citing Eagle, in a September 1985 article, suggested early schooling may be the most pervasive form of child abuse in the 1980s. And what is it your government wants? Put them into school? Put them into preschool? Put them into pre-preschool? I mean, we want these children just as soon as we can get their minds. Now, that may be carrying things a little bit too far, but in the face of the evidence, there is no justification for the open hostility that so many public school supporters seem to feel toward homeschoolers. For instance, in district after district, these homeschoolers are rejected when they try to participate in a limited number of school activities, such as academic or extracurricular activities. Although a number of states now require public schools to allow such participation. In Pennsylvania, which lacks such a law, hundreds of school districts do this voluntarily and invite homeschoolers into the public school extracurricular activities. As Stephen Ahrens wondered in his 1983 book, Compelling Belief, why is it that millions of children who are push-outs or dropouts amount to business as usual in the public schools? While one family in the neighborhood educating their child at home becomes a major threat to universal public education and the very survival of democracy. Yes, why is it that we're so concerned about the homeschooled child and we're not at all concerned about all of the dropouts? Homeschooled students, whether there are 850,000 or 2 million of them, have the taxpaying public and save the taxpaying public billions of dollars a year by withdrawing from the public schools. Just using $9,000 per pupil as a rough approximation of current annual spending on public schools, homeschooled students save the taxpaying public between $7.5 and $18 billion a year. It's been estimated that homeschooling parents spend about $800 of their own money annually to educate each child. I think the national average is $546. So I remember when we did our child here, our last girl, 546 seems to be the number that sticks in my mind. Now, in brief, although no one should be compelled to undertake the unusual dedication required to homeschool their children, those who wish to do so should not have government place bureaucratic roadblocks in their way. The evidence to date makes it clear, crystal clear. The success rate is much higher for homeschoolers, while the actual cost is lower. And it's as little as zero for taxpayers. The results benefit students, parents, family, and society. And it just can't get any better than that. Now, I might want to point out here that the studies show that the average homeschooling parent does not have a college degree and does not have a teaching credential. Average. Now, it is true that many of the homeschooled children, their parents are teachers. That's true. Many of the homeschooled students, their parents are PhDs, or they have college degrees, or they're professional people. That's very true. But it's not average. It's not routine. In fact, it's been found that most of these people here are just average Joe Sixpacks without college degrees or teaching credentials who are educating their children at home with packaged programs that come from either religious or secular institutions. We bought a program, a computer program, and, for things like math, geometry, trigonometry. Those are the kinds of things I can't do. Those, you know, I'm a Joe Sixpack high school dropout. I can't do geometry, trigonometry, algebra, and higher mathematics, but I can teach my child. And here's the way you do that. You send for one of these computer programs. Now, your child has to learn how to play the computer. Now, our child learned to play the computer from one of our older siblings. We've got a boy that works here in the law school, Dirk. And he's a computer whiz. I mean, that guy, if there's anything that you can do with a computer and he can't do, it ain't been invented yet. He just does everything. So here's the little girl. Now she's, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, and we bought these little kiddie computers. You know, the little toys that you buy at Toys R Us, and they got little computers and lights and bells and whistles, and so, you know, we bought her a couple of those. And then as she progressed along one day, you know, Dirk, he's got this old computer. I don't know how old it was, but it was elderly, antique type computer. And he set that up for her. And she did her schoolwork on that computer, and he taught her how to use that. So, you know, if you're a truck driver or a housewife or something, you don't have a computer, and you say, well, I wouldn't know how to do that. Well, then get somebody that does. I didn't know how to do it either. Neither does my wife. My wife and I are both computer illiterates. But that doesn't mean we don't have people working for us that are computer savvy and computer literate people. So we got the programs. And listen, you can get online. There are programs everywhere. There are thousands of different companies, people, that are putting out these homeschool programs. Literally thousands nationwide. So if you were to just call, for instance, the local Catholic Archdiocese and say, hey, I want to educate my kid at home. What do you think about that? They'd say, hey, we got a program for you. Call the local Baptist. You know, whether you're a Baptist, you know, if you're a Mormon, instead of sending your kid to public school and having him dumbed down, I'll just bet you that the Mormon Church has a homeschooling program for Mormon children. And, you know, that's the way we used to do things here in the United States. The Mormons educated their children to their Mormon philosophies and theologies and ideologies out there in Utah. Totally at odds with us in California. But, you know, we had our little public school, our little local school here, you know, let's say out on Cannibal Road in Lolita, California, where the local school board was the local farmers, and they were all Portuguese and Italians, they were all Catholics, and when they hired a school teacher, what religious persuasion do you think the school teacher had? Do you think they hired Mormon school teachers to teach their Catholic kids? Well, I want to tell you they didn't. They hired a Catholic school teacher to teach their Catholic kids, and the Mormons hired Mormon school teachers to teach their kids, and the Lutherans did the same thing in Minnesota, and on it went. And so all of these little local schools all over the country, the people that were running the school boards were the local farmers, the local people, townspeople. Then we got into this thing of factory education back in the 1920s. We said, well, we've got to send these children, we've got to educate all these children in institutions of higher learning. And so we started dumbing them down pretty early on, right after World War II, as a matter of fact, and we started institutionalizing them. I was institutionalized for 12 years. Now, I got a better education and I learned more than students are today, but my dad told me back in the 1950s, he said, it's a tragedy at the way they're educating you here in public schools. And he was concerned about it in 1952 and 3. And in fact, he was so concerned about it, he yanked me out of public school and he sent me to private parochial school, for crying out loud. So I went to parochial school for 2 years because he didn't like the public schools. My grandmother said it was a tragedy at the way my dad was educated because it was so poor back in the 1930s, 20s and 30s. And so education has been deteriorating since World War I here in the United States. And that's about the time that the social progressives got control of the school system. And today it's abysmal. In fact, I've been showing you that it is so bad that the Japanese said that there isn't anything about it that we'd want to take back to Japan. It's the poorest school system in the world. It's generally acknowledged that the American school system is the poorest in the world. You know, it probably isn't even a step ahead of no school system at all because of the bad education that's being put into these children's minds. Now, putting that aside, the question arises, well, what do we do about it? And the answer is you take your kid out of public school and you educate your child at home. That's all. And it'll cost you about $800 a year. And you got four kids. It can cost you $4,000 a year. And you say, well, I can't afford that. Well, why don't you start thinking about improvising? You know, your children aren't all the same age. So you start off with one child and you educate that one. And then the other little children, they grow into it, don't they? The program that you're educating your 10-year-old will be just right for your 9-year-old, your 8-year-old, and your 7-year-old next year, the year next year, and the next year, and the next year. You follow that? Now, the parochial school systems, they also have programs. I mean, if you're a Baptist and you say, hey, I want to send my kid over here to the Baptist school, that's what I did with my early children. I sent them to a parochial school so they'd make sure we got a good foundation for reading. Most of these parochial schools will have a program and an easy payment program. It may be that you'll spend some hours of time going over to the local church and mowing the grass and doing janitorial work or something like that so that they don't have to hire somebody to do that. There's programs out there, you know, and where there's a will, there's a way. Let's take a look at socialization here in the public schools. It was Theodore Roosevelt who said, to educate a man in mind and not in morals is to educate a menace to society. That's precisely what we do today. We send them to public schools. We have taken out the Ten Commandments, prayer, God, from our public schools. We educate them in mind, but not in morals. And we create a menace to society, and that's why you have all these school shootings. Now, we're not going to reform that. You know, the millions of people out there that believe in public schools and believe in separation of church and state, hey, that's a done deal. You're not going to reform it. But you don't have to participate in it. You don't have to send your kid to Columbine High School. You can take your child out of Columbine High School and let them shoot up the school and kill the other kids over there. Every homeschooled child in the Columbine homeschooling district who was homeschooling his child that day didn't have any problem, did they? No concerns and no worries. When was the last time you heard of a homeschool being shot up by a disgruntled student? When was the last time you heard of a Catholic or a parochial school being shot up by a disgruntled student? Hell, they're all public institutions. Always tuck that one away in your heart. And they're public institutions that do not teach morals. Where morality is being taught, you don't have that problem. So tuck that one away in your heart. Now, many homeschoolers share this sentiment. When it comes to public schools, believing that the moral relativism, violence, peer pressure, drugs, and promiscuity found inside their gates provide an inadequate setting to properly socialize their children. Now, if you don't want your child socialized to drugs, violence, peer pressure, and moral relativism, then pull them out of public school. If you're perfectly satisfied with moral relativism, violence, peer pressure, drugs, and promiscuity, boys and girls, the public school is the place to send your child. That's what they're doing there. That's what they sell there. That's the education that's being promoted there. I've always wondered about people that complain about their schools and their textbooks and evolution and drugs and one thing and another. And when they get through, I say, why do you send your child there? And almost invariably say, well, because it's the law. I have to. Almost every time. I can't remember anybody ever answering the question, why do you send your child to public school? It's the law. I have to. Okay. Well, it isn't the law and you don't have to. There are three ways for you to educate your child. It is true we have compulsory education. It is true you cannot. It's against the law. It violates the law of God. It violates the law of man. You cannot have a child that you don't educate. That's true. But you don't have to educate him in public school. Public school is the number one choice Parochial school is the number two choice, and homeschool is the number three choice. Every state in the union makes provision for public school, parochial school, and homeschool. Every state in the union. Some are a little worse than others. Now, I happen to live here in Missouri. Missouri's got a pretty good homeschooling law. What they require here in this state is that you have your child tested every year. Which, you know, kind of makes sense. The state says, look, if you can educate your kid at home, and if your kid is at least average, if he just meets the average, then go ahead and educate your kid at home. Our girl, when she was 12 years old, they took her over and they tested her. She scored at 12.6. She was equivalent to her first year in college in the 7th grade. Well, she wasn't in the 7th grade, but she was 12. And so they said, well, you don't ever have to bring your daughter back again. Since she already scores higher than our high school graduates here at the Lutie School, you don't have to bring her back. So we never did. We got a free pass. Now, if you were having trouble, if you were struggling along and your child was just barely, you know, making it, you know, you might have some contact with the social workers and some contact with the school principals and some contact with the teachers. We didn't have that problem. In fact, homeschoolers, on average, 90% of homeschoolers score above average. There's a couple, three states in the union. Connecticut is one. Pennsylvania is two. That are real sticklers. I mean, they've got some real nasty rules and regulations. Then you got some real easy states, you know, like Alaska. They'll actually pay you to homeschool your child in Alaska. Let me give you a reminder here, and then we'll pick this up right after this. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour, an editorial review, gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. But these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications so endorsed or recommended are necessarily going to reciprocate. That's because these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour oftentimes are hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. All right. We are talking about education and particularly the socialization process of homeschooling. Now, there's no place like home. No place like home. Why is there such a dichotomy in the socialization experience between homeschoolers and conventional students? And it all has to do with the learning environment. The National Home Education Research Institute disclosed that the 36 to 54 hours that students spend in school-related weekly activities make peers and adults outside of the home the primary influences in children's lives, not their parents. So if you're wondering why your children don't mind you, why they don't listen to you, it's because they've got all of these other teachers out here telling them that you don't know anything and that your values are all wrong. Let's suppose you're a Mormon and you're sending your kid to public school and they're teaching your child evolutionary philosophy. And you're trying to teach your child special creation or the Book of Mormon or the Bible or morality or thou shalt not commit adultery. And in your public school they are teaching that same child free sex. Well, what do you think the results are going to be? Your child is spending 50 hours a week with these kinds of influences, and then you wonder why it is that they don't pay attention to what you tell them. Now, let's put the shoe on the other foot. I've got a child here, and our child was homeschooled. She's an adult now, but, you know, she was homeschooled. And as a result of that, she spent most of her time around adults. She didn't spend her time around pimply-faced 15-year-old punks. She spent her time down at the post office talking to Marilyn, the postmistress, or over at Jimmy Wallace's at the cement plant, or talking to the neighbors, who in some cases, like my neighbor Everett over here, is 86 years old. Her education is made up of everyday, real-life experiences. She's not getting theoretical, well, we think that sex is, or we think that this, that, or something else. She's actually out there doing it, interacting with the other people in the society around her, doing business with them. And she's been doing that all of her life. So it isn't surprising that our daughter is more mature at age 19 than most young people at age 30. And that's because the people that she has contact with are adults, so she behaves like an adult. She acts like an adult because that's been her life's experience. Now, if you ask yourself, how often do you come into contact with 15-year-old high school kids? Very, very seldom. Most of the time, we come into contact with the bank teller, who is an adult, or the garage mechanic, who is an adult, or the checkout lady at the supermarket, who is an adult. In fact, most of life's experience comes from other adults. If you take a look at our population, we have 300 million people in the country, and about 50 million of them are going to public school, about 10 million of them in parochial school, and about 2 million of them in homeschool. So somewhere in the neighborhood of 65 million people are children or young adults. Let's take 65 and divide it by 300. It's only 21%. So about one person in every five should be a child or an adolescent that you come into contact every day. When you send a child to public school, 99% of all of the people that that child comes into contact with are other children. That is not the normal society. The normal society is four adults and one other child. You send them to public school, they come into contact with other children. So their entire life's experience from age 6 to 18 is artificial. Most of their waking hours are artificial. Then, when they come home from the artificial environment of school, they sit down in front of the artificial society on television, and they're watching sitcoms on television like Three's Company, or Seinfeld? How many families do you know in real life like Seinfeld or Three's Company? Those are aberrations. And so your child lives in this artificial world. School is an artificial world. It isn't real. That isn't where the real world is. And then you wonder why your kid is into drugs, free sex, rebellion, witchcraft. Not only is that's what they're teaching in the public school, but they're learning their values from other 15-year-old kids. Do you think that other 15-year-old kids are going to teach your daughter, thou shalt not commit adultery? That's something that you learn from your own group. So, you know, don't be surprised if your child doesn't perform to your standards. After all, you haven't educated your child to your standards yet. I did mine. All right, now, realizing the harm that this constant exposure can produce, especially if it's not countered by involved parenting, most homeschoolers are well aware of their children's need for close one-to-one contact throughout the education process. You know, Jesus understood the importance of continual intimate contact with his students. So he ate, and he slept, and he fellowshipped, and he worked with his disciples 24 hours a day. It is unlikely that Jesus would have entrusted their training to the local synagogue, Sadducees, or Pharisees. And yet that's precisely what you do. You're a Mormon. And instead of educating your child to those Mormon values, philosophies, and teachings, you entrust your child to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Essenes, the people who have an exact or some opposite or some different belief system than you have, and then you wonder, I wonder what's wrong with my kid. The values that Americans hold at home are something different than the values they're being taught in public school. So how do these different settings affect children? Well, Dr. Thomas Smedley believes that homeschoolers have superior socialization skills, and his research supports this claim. He conducted a study in which he administered the Vineyard Adaptive Behavior Scales test to identify mature and well-adapted behaviors in children. Home learners ranked in the 84th percentile compared to publicly schooled students who were drastically lower in the 23rd percentile. You know, when you are operating a failure like the public school system, and then you ask questions like, well, can you tell me why Johnny can't read? These social scientists and engineers, they have to come up with some kind of lying BS to hoodwink you one more step in the process, don't they? You know, the public school system spends 90% of its time apologizing for their failures. They didn't have to apologize in 1955 because Johnny could read. He could do percentages and you know, he could get a job. He could read at the 12th grade level in 1955. Seniors, you know, could find the United States of America on a map. They could find Vietnam in 1955. Today they can't. And it's not because your children are stupid. It's because your children are not being educated. And even if public school was the place to educate them, homeschool is better because homeschool is where reality is located. You see, reality is where your children are going to be meeting four adults for every young person or every juvenile. And those four adults, every time you have an encounter with somebody, you learn something from them. You found out something today that you didn't know before. You took your car over to have it repaired. You went over to pick it up, and they told you what was wrong with it. And so now you're a little smarter than you were before. There's an interaction between you and the mechanic. Everybody that you come into contact with teaches you something, and that includes 15-year-olds. Now, what do 15-year-olds have to teach? When the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. So many of these school socialization advocates argue that homeschooling precludes children from experiencing real life. Well, instead of being locked behind school gates in what some would consider an artificial setting, characterized by bells, forced silence, and age segregation, homeschoolers frequently extend their everyday classroom to fire departments, hospitals, museums, repair shops, city halls, national parks, churches, and colleges, where the real community interaction and contacts are actually being made. I took my children with me on the road when we were on the road lecturing, and they have been to every state in the union except Hawaii and Alaska. Couldn't drive the motor home to either place. Now, I've been to all 50 states. I've lectured and taught in all 50 states and have students in all 50 states. My children have been to 48 of those 50 states. They are well-traveled, very knowledgeable about the United States and state capitals. My daughter can tell you every state in the union and every state capital. She can even tell you, in most instances, what she did at the state capital in Pierre, South Dakota. You know, most people, if you said, what's the capital of South Dakota, they'd say, where is South Dakota? All right, so it's important that children have real-life experiences because that's what real life is all about. School, public school, is an artificial environment for brainwashing, for mind control. That's the purpose behind it. Now, you know, if you want mediocrity, you can't get a better place than public school. If you want superiority, a homeschool is the best place and parochial school is the second best. When most home educators and school administrators speak of successful socialization, are they referring to the same thing? Education researcher Dr. Michael Mitchell found that being popular, aggressively competitive, materialistically driven, and self-confident are all traits promoted in conventional public schools. Do you get that? They want you to be popular, aggressively competitive, materialistically driven, and self-confident. These are the traits promoted in conventional schools. His study shows that these campus ideals are discouraged by Christian home educators in favor of building their children's character and dismantling selfish ambitions. They're more concerned with integrity, responsibility, respect for others, and trust in God. Biblical soundness and an amiable disposition topped the ideal social qualities that they desired their youth to embody. All right, now let's suppose that you're a Christian and you go to church every Sunday. And you want your children to share these values that you hold. If you send them to public school, they want to teach those children to be popular, aggressively competitive, materialistically driven, and self-confident. These are traits promoted in conventional schools. While you, the Christian, want to favor building your children's character. Character building is not part and parcel of the public education format. And we talked a little earlier this week here about the teachers down in Houston or Dallas. They had to disqualify about a third of them for cheating, for crying out loud. Where did they learn cheating? They learned it in public school. Cheating is a part and parcel of the public school phenomenon. Now, I learned not to cheat clear back in the first grade. It was Mrs. Sorensen, first grade teacher. And she said, you know, remember when we was in school and we were doing our papers, and she said, now, don't look on your other students' papers, because that's cheating. That's like stealing. So, if you don't know the answer, then you raise your hand and you ask me and I'll come over and help you. But don't look over and get the answer from some other student, from your neighbor. Because that's stealing, and that's wrong. Thou shalt not steal. So here I am in the first grade, you know, just a little tyke. And then I learned that right on, when I didn't know the answer to something, I never looked on another kid's paper. I went through school for 12 years, never copied another answer off of another kid's paper. And if inadvertently I had seen the answer written by David or Ed or somebody else over here, you know, look over and looking around the room and I saw the answer over here or something like that, I wouldn't use it. Wouldn't use it. So when you teach morality to a six-year-old, he will be moral for the rest of his life. Whatever that morality is. You teach that kid to steal, you teach a 14-year-old girl to spread her legs for the 14-year-old boys and she'll be a whore for the rest of her life. Now if you want a whore for a daughter, send her to public school and the public education, a sex education class. You can't do better. You couldn't find a better place to train a whore than public school. Drug addicts? Oh, public school's where you buy drugs. Children buy more drugs in public school than any other social setting. Not out on the street, they're buying them right there in school. Now, how many drugs are being sold in the Gordon homeschool? None. None. Zero. Zilch. We don't allow it. Our child was never involved in drugs, never had a problem with drugs because we don't use drugs and we never sent her to a place where she would be introduced to drugs. And then we had a vigorous anti-drug program. We don't take aspirin here either. All right, so going on, this study shows that the campus ideals are discouraged by Christian home educators. Many Christians who homeschool believe that the greatest socialization their children can have is to be trained to emulate Jesus, who is a servant of man. Home educators, examined by Mitchell, strive to dismantle any selfish ambitions, self-aggrandizement, and seen in their children as opposed to cultivating them. Getting ahead of one's peers is not consistent with Jesus urging in Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28, which calls for Christians to seek a lowly and servile role to those around them. However, this does not mean that Christians are called to underachieve, as Colossians 3:23 exhorts readers to push for peak performance in every endeavor, but for the glory of God rather than for selfish ambition. I wonder if Ken Lay had been educated at home or in a Christian school, if he would have ripped off all of those stockholders in Enron. I wonder if he would have tolerated or encouraged the theft of billions and billions of dollars from the electric ratepayers out in California. These people, you know, that are the captains of business and industry, the president of the United States who creates a false flag operation and kills 3,000 people in the trade towers over here in New York City. You know, that is indicative of the public school education system, not private school. Now there's a thing here called negative socialization. You know, the mass socialization conducted within schools has brought about a proliferation of delinquent behavior within the nation's youth, reports education researcher Dr. Michael Slavinsky. He notes that student bodies are increasingly riddled with violence, drugs, promiscuity, emotional disorders, crime, contempt for authority, desperate behavior, illiteracy, and peer dependency, just to name a few. Today, parents are not as surprised to see reports of fifth graders having sex in class, hear about school shootings, find drugs or condoms in backpacks, receive phone calls from the police or principals, or witness defiant, apathetic, and unrecognizable tones in their children's voices. Live and let learn, say many parents. Most home educators are fine with this as long as their children's learning comes from mature, seasoned, and embracing adults who have the children's best interests at heart, above political or economic agendas. They believe that such training shouldn't come from peers either, which amounts to the blind leading the blind. When the direct observation form of the Child Behavior Checklist was administered by education researcher Dr. Larry Shires to identify 97 problematic behaviors in two groups of children. Traditionally schooled students exuded 8 times as many antisocial traits than their homeschooled counterparts. And this lies in direct contrast to claims by public school advocates that exposure to campus life leads to proper socialization. Now think about it for a minute. That's a wild new concept. Let's use our minds for a change. Instead of believing the crap that we listen to on television, let's stop and think about it. You've got a child here, and in the course of a day, educated at home, comes in contact with 4 adults for every juvenile that he comes in contact with. That mirrors the real world. That mirrors the population age demographics. Now, let's take the same child and put him in public school. That's segregating by age, and all of the children that he has contact with throughout the day, 5 days a week, 6 hours, 30 hours a week, are children his own age. Now, what is he picking up? He's picking up the behavioral patterns of other pimply-faced punks. That's what my dad called them. You and your pimply-faced punk friends. See, my dad understood that I was spending my time with my peers. Well, he spent a lot of time with me also to overcome that. But you're not going to overcome 30 hours a week with 30 other 15-year-olds by putting your child, you know, just with you and mom a few hours a week. That's why the Mormons have a good program. They call it the family home time or family hour time or something like that, where they spend a little time together talking with one another. Socialization of society is the goal of communists and socialists. They have succeeded beyond their wildest expectations. They've got everybody in this country totally socialized to the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in opposition to the Ten Commandments. They've done a complete renvoi. You know, 50 or 60 years ago, we all practiced the Ten Commandments and we didn't practice the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. Today, we all practice the Communist Manifesto and nobody practices the Ten Commandments. That's success. That is the ultimate in success. Well, for the people that are selling that product. Now, if that's the product you want to buy, well, public school is the place to buy it. You can't beat it. But don't believe for a minute that socialization over here comes from public schools. Proper socialization comes from homeschools, and every test ever done proves that fact. And it proves the lie of the public school advocates that say a child that doesn't go to public schools is going to be socially maladjusted. It's nothing but a lie. It's worse. It's a damn lie, as Mark Twain would say. All right, you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school or The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. If you'd like to order one, just call the law school direct at 417-273-4967 to order yours. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Hey, our time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.